stand. I do have one special request for prayer. This week, while I was out in Oregon, we received a call out there saying that Sister Schumacher, Our Lady's Ministries Director for our district, she had open heart surgery, and while they were performing the surgery, they accidentally nicked one of the arteries, and they couldn't stop it from bleeding, and that she was in very critical condition. Now, since I've been back home, I tried to get a report on her, and I haven't heard. But I think we should pray for Sister Schumacher. Would you do that? Lord Jesus, we're asking, God, that you touch Sister Schumacher. I'm praying, God, that your Holy Spirit would come down, that you would move in a special way upon her. Touch her, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, against any adversity as a result of this surgery. I pray, God, for a speedy recovery for her. She's a very valuable lady among us, and I'm asking, God, that you move, that you touch her, and that you heal her. God, by your stripes, Lord Jesus, by your stripes, Lord, she is healed. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I've known Brother Alan Demas and Sister Valerie for many, many years now. And when you've known someone about 25 or 30 years, then you say they're lifelong friends. And they have been a friend to us, and since going to Germany, they've become a lot closer because of their boys here and our church. We love the Demas so much. We do support them. But he's traveling, trying to raise PIM support. So if any of you could help in addition to what we're doing, when we take the offering for them, I'd like to just put a little slip of paper in stating that I would like to support them for X number of dollars per month. Any amount would be greatly appreciated. Now, what's going to happen? Brother Demas is going to come, and they're going to talk about Germany and what they're doing there prior to him bringing us the word of the Lord. Then we're going to take another offering. This offering is a sacrificial offering. We want you to give sacrificially, because the reason why they're traveling is to raise funds for Germany and for themselves. Missionaries, they go out, they just have to raise it for themselves. That's what it's for. And we do appreciate so very much them taking time to come by and visit with us. And we're glad that you're in attendance. And we'd like for Brother Demas to come at this time and take his liberty to bring us the word of the Lord or bring us a presentation, whatever. Thanks for coming and being with us. God bless you. We so love you.
Thank you, Pastor Grant. It is an honor to be with the church in Madison today. It is rare, actually, that a missionary is able to be with a church for both services on a Sunday. Amen. And so it's an honor for us to be with you on this day. Amen. And since we all have a mission, and since my wife and I are missionaries, and since this church has sent out home missionaries and supports missionaries, and since we are an assembly, a congregation, a gathering, I guess that makes this almost a conference, so we might as well just call this missionary conference. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I never want to lose the sense of my mission. Amen. And the church can never lose the sense of her mission. Praise God. Because it's not just the missionaries that are called to go. It's the church that's called to go. Amen. So if you're in the church, if you're a member of the body of Christ, we join together in the Great Commission, and we've got to fulfill it in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. Let's thank Him that we know who He is. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. Amen. I just want to share some things for a few minutes, and then I ask my wife to come and share testimony, whatever's on her heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are so thankful for the opportunity to be back in North America after 4 years of service. Amen. We thank the Lord for many good things that have taken place in these last 4 years. Amen. There's been hills. There's been valleys. Amen. We've been on some mountaintops. Amen. And we even had one major crisis. But I'm here to tell you that God is with us. God was with us. And God will be with you in every situation. Praise God. I'll share a little bit more tonight. Amen. But I just want to say that last Sunday was my wife's birthday, and the Russians that we work with, German-Russian extended family, they're very big on remembering your birthday, and they do that by telephoning. Amen. And so last Sunday, my wife got two telephone calls from two of our families there in Germany. I'm going to come back to them in just a little bit. Amen. But what we learned in one of those calls was that a week ago, Saturday, in our Northheim church, which is basically a Russian language church, it's a daughter church to our Paderborn church, which was a daughter church to our Bonn church. And now Paderborn is bigger than the mother church, praise God. In Northheim, three people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for that. A new lady came about a year ago, Nella, got baptized, and I was there a year ago at Christmas time when her teenage daughter came for the very first time, and then just a few weeks ago, Nella's mother began to come, and Nella is still seeking the Spirit, but she's already a soul winner, and her daughter and her mom got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. And then on Sunday morning in our Paderborn church, amen, the only holdout from the 15-member Denk family that had not received the Holy Ghost, Brother Victor, amen, he was baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, and that is such a victory for him and that family, and we're excited about that. Praise God. Just before we came home, amen, this spring, amen, we completed the ministry of our position in the Paderborn Church. Amen, taking it to national leadership. The young man who was a heroin addict 13 years ago, who had come out of drugs and come out of sin and come out of despair, come out of a hopeless condition. Amen. He's been on the rock for many years, and we thank the Lord for that. When we were with you before, he was my assistant pastor. We had helped him start the daughter church in Northheim. Amen. And then we talked to him last year and said, Brother Alexander, I'm going home on furlough. Going to be gone for a year. And you covered the church while I was gone last time. But I really feel, and I want to present to you the opportunity, that I feel it's time for you to become the pastor of the church. Amen. And I gave him time to think about it, pray about it, fast about it, talk to his wife. Amen. And he came back a couple weeks later. Yes, I'm ready for the task. Amen. And at the end of January this year, we installed Brother Alexander Denk. Born in Kazakhstan, reborn in Paderborn, Germany. We installed him as pastor of that assembly. About 100 people were there that Sunday. He's pastoring that church, and glory to God. But what about the daughter church that he'd been pastoring? God was ahead of us. Amen. 2 years ago, his big brother had been faithful. Big brother just kind of sat behind the scenes. Amen. Big brother was treasurer. Big brother was deacon. Big brother, I could count on him. But big brother never considered himself somebody to get in the pulpit or deliver the word of God publicly. He was a good evangelist at the work, had brought people in through that. But 2 years ago, his brother, amen, after crisis that I won't go into, his brother came and he says, it's not right that Brother Alexander is going over to Northheim every week. I want to help in that ministry. I want to start going over there. And for 2 years, Brother Andreas Denk has been going to Northheim with his family, daughter Christina playing the keyboard, leading the music on Saturday nights. And today, Brother Andreas Denk is now pastoring the Northheim Russian-speaking church, and we say glory to God. God is working, and that's what it's all about. out. It's not just talking to somebody, but it's discipling them and bringing them not just to discipleship, but to servanthood and then stewardship, where they too then become part of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kutsudimu, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to ask my Wisconsin-born, 100% German wife to greet you at this time.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Demas. Thank you, Brother Pastor. And Brother and Sister Rossing for bringing us in for a doubleheader today. That's a little unusual, and we like that because that gives us a lot more opportunity to interchange with people that we've come to know and love. And there are many of you like that here, not the least of which is our son, Philip. We've come to thank you, precious people in the pews of this church, for your faithful and steady giving that allows us to go forward and fulfill the will of God in our lives. Without you, we could not do that. We've come to thank you for allowing Philip and Fiona to spread their wings and follow their dreams and develop their ministry right here in your wonderful congregation and church. We've come to thank you because when we travel during this time of deputation, as we call it, we are totally dependent on the offerings of the churches to provide our keep, shall we say, for the gas and the just all of our income comes from the churches while we're home. We've come to thank you also for the PIM support your pastor's already referred to. Most of you are familiar with that. That support every month allows us to live and do the work of God while we're on the field. And yes, we always need more. The gas now, the last I heard, is over $8 a gallon. It's gone up since we left. So it is always a pressure, always needful that money be there that we can just do the ordinary everyday things. And then we have the project giving that always helps us with those things we can do for the nationals. For example, young brother Alexander, we were able to raise money for a car to replace his car last time we were here in America. That was such a blessing. Pastor Vi has a building finally. He's one of our long-term German pastors, had been in a cramped facility for so long and was praying and looking and looking and praying. And in Germany, as he puts it as a German man, this is Germany, complicated, all kinds of regulations and difficulties. And buildings in Europe are not available like here in America because the churches that are there are old-line German Lutheran Catholic churches, and they just don't sell them. And there aren't other groups, so many groups in America are Christian groups that have buildings that come available, but there it doesn't happen that way. But praise God, he did find a facility just in this last, I don't know what, 2 years ago, Brother Demas? A year ago he found this facility, and it's an old furniture factory, I believe. So it has had to have a lot of upgrades and a lot of repairs. But we were able to put in his hands money that we raised last term while we were home to help him get into that building. And he's working hard on it. Every day that we talk to him, he talks of the labor of the physical building that he's trying to spiff up for Jesus, because it isn't a church. It's a furniture factory. But God is working. God is good. It's all coming together with patience, diligence, and regular long-term involvement. And we're going back for another term. This is our 8th deputation, and we're not done yet. And we hope God isn't done with us yet. We're going to give it all we've got when we go back. As long as we can give it, we'll give it. And so with your wonderful help and support, we will be going back and bringing back many more, we hope, good reports, especially about Germans finding the Lord, because I'm one of them, and I want them to know Jesus. Don't you? Praise the Lord. Martha, are you here somewhere? She's one of your resident Germans. I don't see her. She's probably working for the Lord in the back somewhere. Yes, that's what I thought. But she's teaching her children German in her homeschooling, and I think that's so exciting. She wants to hold on to her heritage, and I love that. And I love being able to speak a little bit of French to our French young men who were here earlier this morning. Multicultural is what it's all about, amen? We're in this together around the world. Praise the Lord. So one other way that you can help us, too, is to stop by the table that we have out there, because we laboriously haul home these things that are German-made, and they're there for you to purchase. shop early so I don't have to pack it up for Christmas. I mean, shop early for Christmas so I don't have to pack it up again. God bless you for that. And then I have one more thing. I'm going to tell you a little more about this tonight. But I have a book hot off the press that is a precious remembrance of our heritage. And it is about Wisconsin. It's about the revival in Wisconsin in a little village called Auroraville. It's over by Oshkosh, near about 100 miles north of Milwaukee. In Auroraville many years ago, the Holy Ghost began to move in wonderful, miraculous ways. And many people that are filling our Wisconsin churches right now are the product and the end result of this revival that came in the early 1900s. John Hart has begun the project. He was the author of it in that he compiled the stories and put together the photographs. And I came along and became kind of the finisher, the editor, the one who put it into book form. It's an exciting story. You might even find yourself in this story. I would not be surprised at all if you do. So it's available as well out there on the table. So let's just enjoy this day together in Jesus' name, seeing what the Lord will do for you as well as for us during this time of gathering, as Brother Demas put it. God bless you. Wonderful to be here. Praise God.
Thank you, Brother and Sister Demas, for sharing that with us. And we'd like for our ushers to come. And do remember that while we do support them, we can support them with more money per month. I'm sure that God would be pleased with that, and so would the Demases. So if you feel that you would like to contribute to the Demases monthly, just put something in the offering denoting how much you'd like to give per month. All right? Tonight they will share with us some of their special projects. We're just so glad that they're here, and we're glad that we're able to partner with them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to give to missions and such a valuable couple as the Demases. I pray, God, your blessings upon every person who contributes. God, we're just your servants, God, and we're all in this together. And some go and some send their money. And Lord Jesus, I'm just so thankful, Lord, that we can partner with them. And I pray, God, that we could partner with them even to a greater degree than what we have. And I pray your blessings upon this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, God bless you as you give.
We all sing this together. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's beautiful. Everybody join together.
Would you remain standing while we look at Matthew 16, a couple of verses there, and then we'll be going to another chapter for our main references this morning. Again, we thank your pastor for the invitation to be with you. We respect and appreciate the Grants and their ministry so very much. Praise God. And when I saw that he was going to be teaching in Oregon this week, I knew that he would be a great blessing. And we thank the Lord for his ministry here in Wisconsin and nationwide. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Sister Leonardson did not know I was going to read that verse, of course. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In these last verses, Jesus is trying to show us the importance and the value of your and my eternal soul. You could cut off my finger, and maybe a hand may be cut off through a saw. A leg may be broken. But if I damage my soul and if I lose my soul, I've lost all that eternity has waiting for me. Shall we pray for the word? In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Give hearing, Lord. Give utterance, Lord. Give direction, Lord. Hallelujah. Give anointing, we pray. Hallelujah. Bless those that speak and those that hear, we pray. And oh God, in Jesus' name, let us know how much you care for us today. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise God. You may be seated. Jesus spoke to many types of people. He spoke to individuals. He was a personal evangelist. Amen. If you want to be a personal evangelist, if you want to tell people about the Lord, amen, the first thing you can do, even before you take a personal evangelism class or before you read a book about personal evangelism, is just read the Gospels and see what Jesus did to minister to people one at a time. He met a lady at a well at noonday. He met Nicodemus at night. Amen. He talked to other people one by one. Zacchaeus, I want to talk to you, but it's not just for you, it's for your family too. So let's go to your house and let's drink some good Jordanian tea. Amen. I'm so glad to meet our new friend Shukri there from Jordan. I told him I learned to drink tea from our Jordanian students over in Athens, Greece. I've been to his country. Amen. I love Arabic food. And just recently I had some rice pilaf in Minnesota, and I thought to myself, that's the best rice pilaf I've had since being in Jordan about 20 years ago down at Marka, but south of the main city there of Jordan, amen, with some of the believers there. And so Jesus would go to individuals, and then he'd go to groups. Zacchaeus and your family, amen. Matthew, and then Matthew said, he talks to me. Some of the Jewish guys won't talk to me because they think I'm compromising with the Romans. They think I got the wrong occupation. Amen. So Matthew was so excited about that. Maybe he had a negative New Brunswick attitude in his life, and he just needed Jesus to tell him, "Matthew, you can be somebody." And so Matthew was excited, and he got all of his friends. He got the tax collectors. He got the publicans. He got the outcasts. And he said, "Jesus, come over to my house. Amen. We're going to have a five-course, amen, Middle East meal, praise God. And you could talk to my friends there." Jesus was an evangelist. Jesus was concerned about people. In fact, he said, "This is why I came. The Son of Man is come. Did all the other things on the side. But that was all extra. The real reason why I came is to seek and to save the lost. A missionary may go. A missionary may do many things. But the bottom line has to be, we are seeking and saving the lost. And that's why we'll drive across town. That's why we'll teach student Bible studies in a basement apartment. That's why we'll go to refugee camps. That's why we'll go in the middle of the night to the hospital at 2 or 3 in the morning. I remember in Athens, Greece, amen, getting a call from one of my new converts about 2 in the morning. And he says, Pastor Demas, amen, Arthur. He took Arthur in off the boats. Arthur was a musician from a boat who kind of got pushed out because he was sick. He said, Arthur's in the hospital. Can you pray? Oh, yes, Brother John, I'll pray. I hung up the phone at 2 in the morning. And I said, yeah, I'm going to pray here, and I'm going to let my new convert go to the hospital. Oh, no, it's time to get dressed. It's time to get in the car. Amen. And it was raining that night. But as I was not quite halfway to the hospital, and I went by the bridge close to the hospital where Philip was born in 1979, I felt the Holy Ghost come down in that car while I was praying. And I knew God was going to touch Arthur because the doctors had said he's going to die tonight. But God gave him another chance to know who Jesus is. And Arthur later was baptized in the saving name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we're seeking and saving the lost, even in the middle of the night. In Luke chapter 15, which many of you know so very well, but of course when we think we know the Word of God well, then we find out there's something there we overlooked. It becomes alive again. That's the difference between the Logos and the Rhema. The Rhema is the living Word. Amen. And it becomes live to us, praise God. And so in Luke 15, we have these three chapters, three parables. We have 32 verses total. 29 of them are the words of Jesus. And Jesus places all of these parables together. Now, Jesus gives many parables about servanthood and stewardship, but most of them are not placed together. But these three are placed together in one place, either by Jesus or perhaps by Luke under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And all of these parables are designed to teach truth. They're designed to bring people to an understanding of godly principles. They're not just stories. They're not just histories. They're not just illustrations. Amen. Now, we can learn things from history. I studied history when I went to college. When I went to Appomattox Courthouse 5 years ago, I think it was, maybe 10, amen, I was so inspired, amen, I thought, that'll preach. But I can't remember what I was inspired about. I got the book somewhere in my library. I need to go back there again and find out what I was inspired about, amen, so we can learn from history. But the parables are to bring us to spiritual understandings, to a higher level of godly understanding, and it's supposed to be relevant to us. In all of these three parables, Jesus was speaking about something that was lost. In the first parable, it's a lost sheep. And the man talks about my sheep, which was lost. You know, if somebody else loses his sheep, oh, that's too bad. Oh, I feel sorry for my neighbor. But when it's your sheep that's lost, amen, now that comes home. Now it's personal. And then there's the coin of silver that was lost. And that was a personal private possession. Commentators, in my margin note even says, the coin that was lost was probably one of 10 coins that was on that woman's marriage dowry and a necklace of jewels, and no doubt that would provide for the day that if the husband died, she would have something for the future. And so that lost coin is not just a lost coin. Amen. It's a remembrance of her husband. Maybe he was already deceased at this point. We do not know. It's a remember of her relationship. It's provision for the future. And it was lost, and the value was more than the dollars and cents. And then in the third parable, the greater one and the larger one in giving here, it is the son that was lost. What's interesting is to notice that all of these were lost somewhere. My problem when I'm looking for my keys or looking for my glasses is, where is the somewhere? I wish I had a GPS locator on my keys. I was looking for this in Watertown Hotel the other morning and afternoon, and I couldn't find it for nothing. And I looked everywhere. I knew I had just come in from the car. I knew I had locked the car. Amen. And I thought, well, maybe it's in my slacks. I looked at my slacks twice and couldn't find it. I finally said to my wife, I need your keys so we go to church tonight. Come home that night, and guess where the key was? In my slacks. That's typical Demas, okay? Praise God. Amen. They were lost somewhere. The sheep was lost in the wilderness. And the somewhere was where he was supposed to be. Amen. The coin was lost in the house. How sad to be lost sitting on the pews of a Pentecostal church. How sad to be lost in the house of God. How sad to be lost when the music and the worship has brought down the presence of God and we felt the presence, and you're sitting back there just ignoring what God is trying to say to you in word and in song and in spirit. I don't want to be lost in the house of God. If there's an altar call, I want to come. If the word of God is being delivered by pastor or other elders, I want to listen to it. I want to hide that word in my heart. I don't want to be lost in the house of God. Praise God. And the son, he was lost in the world and went to cities and places he should have never even known about. But each parable is a type of the church. Each parable shows us the church. It's not just showing us the lost. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is our good shepherd. Peter exalts him more and says, he is the chief shepherd. Amen. We are the sheep of his pasture. There's one church fold, sheepfold, and there's one shepherd, praise God. And the church is represented here by the shepherd, praise God. In the second parable, the woman here represents the church, a type of the bride of Christ. Jerusalem is the mother of us all, not natural Jerusalem, but the Jerusalem that comes from above. Amen. It doesn't matter what side of the Jordan River you live. Amen. There's a heavenly calling, a high end calling that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd and as the head of the body. Praise God. And the church is looking for the lost ones right even in the house. Praise God. But the church is also a family. And so the third parable shows us a family relationship and a family that is broken. Amen. You see, when we are coming to the church, we do not sign cards of membership. Amen. Our wonderful folks today, they receive certificates. Amen. Those certificates certify that they are now in a family relationship, not because of what they have done alone or what the church has done alone, but what God has done in their lives to bring them to baptism, to fill them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you haven't received that experience, I want to tell you today, I was in a Pentecostal church for 18 years before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know the Holy Ghost is more than a feeling. The Holy Ghost is more than a part of the Godhead. The Holy Ghost is more than a dove. The Holy Ghost is more than a helping hand of God. The Holy Ghost is an experience for you to receive, and it's real. It's fantastic, and you don't want to go out of this world without it, praise God. And I'll debate any pastor down the road who says it's not real, who says the tongues of the devil or tongues of gibberish, because I know differently. And God has spoken through me in Punjabi, in Polish, and in Arabic. In fact, before a Muslim lady came to Greece, God gave me the words in prayer. Hala salam. Hala salam. Salam means peace, as in Jerusalem. Hala means welcome or now. And for 2 months, those words kept coming to me because God was preparing the scene for a Shiite Muslim to come, and God wanted to welcome her in to receive the gift of God that she used to pray for in Palestine all night long. Amen. But she never received it. They believe in a gift, but they don't have it. They believe in 99 names of God, but there's one name they don't know about, and he's more than just a man, and God wants to reach every one of us because the Heavenly Father, the shepherd, the head of the family, he's looking for his lost sheep and looking for his lost sons and daughters. This son began in the church but chose to go astray, chose to go away. The father in this parable is not just a natural father. He's not even just a type of the pastor who's so concerned about the sheep and the children in the house of God, but it's a type of the heavenly father. You see, the lost son is not just leaving the family. He's not just leaving the servants. He's not just leaving the friends. He's not just leaving the father. He is leaving God. He's leaving God, and that's what's so desperate about it. Amen. And if you grieve for your lost loved one, how much more does God grieve for his own lost children? In each parable, only one is missing. One sheep, one coin, one son. See, if you've lost something of value, one is enough. Amen. Unfortunately, they don't make glasses, you know, two sides, one each. You know, you put one on the right, one on the left. So if you lose your glasses, you've lost double. Okay, you got double trouble. But losing one is enough. One sheep was important to the shepherd. The ironic thing was, this was not one of the producing mother ewes who had been faithfully bringing new sheep in the flock. This was not one of the rams with horns that could defend against the wolves and the wild dogs. This was a little sheep. And that's a whole other story. God is showing his concern for the young ones, even in this parable. It was a young sheep, a sheep with future, a sheep with potential, a sheep that could become a mother ewe or a father ram someday. Amen. And we don't want to lose one at all. And so the shepherd was concerned. One coin, but you see, when one coin is lost, then the bridal dowry, amen, set of 10 is incomplete. Amen. When you're not in the house of God, the church is not complete. When you're not living for God, the family is not complete. You can come to the family reunion, but if you're not there spiritually, there's something that is missing. And any of us with unsaved loved ones, we know what that is. We meet with them. Amen. The Denks told us after they came to salvation. Amen. They used to go visit their family. And after several months, after a couple of years, they said, we don't drink with them anymore. We don't smoke with them anymore. We don't talk like them anymore. They're still our family. They're still our cousins. They're still our uncles and aunts. We still love them, but we don't have anything in common so much because they don't know the God that we know. They don't have the spirit that we have. Praise God. And one son. We don't even know how many daughters that guy had. But one lost son broke a father's heart. One thing I noticed, I won't take much time there, is that there's no blame. There's no blame. Now, we're good at blaming people. Well, they should have got up this morning and come to church. They know where the church is. I heard one Greek pastor, not one of ours. One Greek pastor says, they know where the church is. They ought to come here. We're going to have revival, but we're not going to tell them. We're not going to invite them. They know where we are. They ought to be here. It's their own fault they don't come. Well, you know, that works for coins because coins are inanimate objects. But you see, there's a world out there that's dead in their sins. They're not alive either. They're not looking for God either. Amen. They don't know that they are of value to the Master. They don't know they're of value to the Jerusalem, the mother of us all. We're the ones that have to look for the ones that don't know they can be alive while they're still dead. The sheep? How can you blame a baby sheep who doesn't understand the wiles of the wilderness? The shepherd didn't blame the little sheep. The shepherd said, I'm going to make sure the 99 are safe. And I'm going to go out looking for that little one. I'm going to look out for him. I'm going to look out for her. There was no blame. And even the son, when he comes home, amen, the father never blamed the son for his bad mistakes, for his bad decisions. Amen. The father didn't say, you should have decided to follow Jesus. It's your own fault you ended up broke and in trouble and in the pig pen. The father never did that. Big brother did, but not the father. Not the father heart of God. Praise God. I keep hearing, it's time for the backsliders to come. Pastor told me, wanted to put up on the church sign, welcome backsliders. Amen. We're waiting for you. Amen. The doors are open. We still love you. And when they come back, let's not blame them. Because as soon as we blame them, they'll turn right around and they'll never come back again. We've got to accept them. We've got to love them. See, we sang this morning, I come running to you, because we're sensitive. We've heard the call. We know what to believe, and we know what to do. We know to come to pray. We know to come to worship. But the ones who are lost are scandalized. They're afraid. Are people going to accept me? You see, why didn't the son come running to his father? I was thinking about that while the choir was singing. Because he didn't know what the father was going to say. He knew he had embarrassed the father so much. He knew that he had caused heartache to the family. He couldn't come running and waltzing in like, oh, I'm back, just like I left yesterday. He was coming with humility and contrition. And it was the father that came running. The father was showing him the door is open. The father is showing him you're accepted in the beloved. You see, before we can have reconciliation, there must be the grace of God and acceptance. In every parable, when the sheaves come brought in, there's rejoicing. we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. The shepherd says, oh, friends, neighbors, rejoice with me, because I found the one which was lost. The mother says to her neighbors and her friends, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. I don't blame the peace. I'm the one that lost it. Amen. But rejoice with me. We found that coin of value. And the Father says, even before the Son has been, amen, clothed properly again, the Father says, get ready to rejoice. Get ready to love God. Get ready to have a family reunion, because the lost has been found. I didn't know where he was. I didn't have a GPS on him. I didn't have a detective out looking for him. Amen. But God got a hold of him, and God brought him back. And here's what I want to say to you today. Maybe you feel like a lost sheep or a lost coin. Or maybe you feel like a lost son or daughter. But Jesus is saying to you, you're of value. We want you back home. We want you back in the body. We love you and we care for you. And Jesus is saying to the church, to those of us who never left the church, Jesus is saying to us, there's some lost ones out there. What's your attitude going to be? You going to look for them? You going to look diligently? Amen. Sweep away everything that's bad. Sweep away everything that's no good. Sweep away looking for that coin lost right in the house. Hallelujah. And sweep in the presence of God. Amen. I'm not here to judge anybody today, but I want us to stand. And if you're feeling a little bit lost today, if you're out of sorts with the universe, if you're out of sorts with God, if you're out of sorts with the family, amen, there's an altar here where you can come and you can meet the loving heavenly Savior, your Father, who wants to bring restoration and reconciliation. And maybe you're a saint of God today. Maybe you've been a soul winner in the past, but God is calling us to recognize there's a lost world that's waiting for the church, waiting for the mother, waiting for the shepherd, amen, waiting for the Father, so that the sons and daughters could come running home to the house of God. Praise God. Let's love the Lord, shall we? Praise God. Hallelujah, Pastor Grant. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God.